Welcome to the Crosslands Church podcast. Our mission, to help you experience the life with God you've been missing. And now, a message for you.
Do you ever have your plans change? Not just me. So we've been dealing with some pressure in our family over the past 4 or 5 months, and it kind of came to a head at a certain point where we had an issue with one of our vehicles, and we knew that it was an issue, and so Michelle drove it down to a friend of mine that gets us really good service at a really good rate, and right before she was going to take it down for this issue, she noticed another small issue, and so she brought it down, and the mechanic fixed the second small issue for half a grand, but it said, I can't fix the first issue now, but you're probably okay for a while. So very shortly after that, we drove up to her parents for the weekend, and on the way home, that first issue that was going to be okay for a while wasn't. And so we found ourselves at the side of the road, we broke down, and so our boys had taken the other vehicle up, and they had to curtail their journey to come get us, and so we, you know, had it towed to a local dealership kind of halfway between here and there in the middle of nowhere, and they don't even know what it's doing there in front of their locked gate. And we took the other vehicle home, and then the Monday morning we called them to say, you know, here's the issue, and that was the day, I believe, that the van went into the shop for something else. We had an issue with that for a long time. And so we finally got the van fixed, got new tires, because that's what the issue turned out to be, and then the two of us drove up to that dealership to pick up the other vehicle. And so we drove up to pick up the other vehicle. I drove out of the lot, and Michelle was coming out behind me, and she said she heard and felt like she had driven over branches. So there was something wrong with the van, and the van had to go in the shop the next day. So it's like tag team wrestling. Right? It's just going in back and forth and back and forth. And this happens. I mean, everybody goes through it. But over the, and I'm not whining and complaining to you, okay, because everybody goes through this, but our fund that we had set up to save up for a new car just got completely depleted over the past 4 or 5 months, because these were not the first 3 and 4 issues. It had been a few months of that. So with that, I want to jump into we're in our Proverbs series. I'm going to jump into the proverb that we're talking about today. We do have a YouVersion live event on any smart device. If you download the YouVersion Bible app, there's always an event for today that has the relevant scripture. There's where do we go from here questions. How do I live this out throughout the week? And if we have time today, 11:17, I don't know. My number's on the screen. We'll deal with text messages that are relevant. If you have something relevant, a question or a comment. But I don't know that we'll have time today. You can still text me. I just won't read them in public. So our proverb for the day is Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Now, Michelle and I, you know, our family, we give to God by giving to the church. And so we would expect that this kind of stuff doesn't happen. The car thing. How does that happen? And so I've mentioned in the past that Proverbs gives us the way things should be in an ideal world. It's complemented by Ecclesiastes and other piece of wisdom literature. It's complemented by Job and other piece of wisdom literature. But there's a sense here that we are called, for whatever reason, to give. Now, I know what you're thinking. Oh, here we go. Every time you see a preacher on TV, they want your money. And so what's the big deal with this? And my question is, and I feel this too, why is it so hard for people to hear about people talk about it? And I think I know part of the reason. Part of the reason is because when people are petitioning for money, my sense is it's not in my best interest, it's in their best interest. I mean, we've got people coming through the door to the door now, and I find it actually quite irritating because they will not take no for an answer. And I feel like it's to the point where it's almost offensive. But why is this a thing? In fact, what is money itself all about? It's this thing. Some people say money goes the world, makes the world go round. Some people misquote the Bible and says the love of money, or that money is the root of all evil. Doesn't say that. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. But what's the deal with money? Why is it such a sensitive issue? Well, I think there's a few reasons. The first is because, so the way money works is money is a medium of exchange. So if I want something that you have, okay, it's illegal to steal it. It's morally wrong to steal it, but I can exchange something. And because we no longer live in a culture where, you know, I raise chickens and I can exchange eggs for your car repair, whatever, Like, I don't have that. And so I work to get an intermediate exchange medium, and that is money, that we all agree that this has a certain value. But how do I get that money? I expend my time and I expend my energy. I work in order to earn that. So that money then becomes a representative. This represents my very life, because you have time, you have energy. What else do you have? You have time and you have energy. What else do you have? That is your life. And you expend a significant part of your life to work in order to get this medium of exchange so you can exchange that for the things you need. Of course it's personal. Because if you're talking about getting my money, you're talking about getting my very life. So it's also a tool. It's a tool that some people know how to use really well. It's a tool that other people don't know how to use well, because it isn't just a medium of exchange. People also pursue money itself for the sake of money. Why? Because it's a tool to invest in your future, to bring you security. And people that know how to use this well will use that well to invest in the future for their own security. And people that don't do that well, they tend to be people that struggle with money. They tend to be people that live with a lot of pain. And when you get money, you expend it to try to alleviate that pain, whether it's through shopping binges or eating out all the time, or even worse, pursuing chemical dependency, because it makes you happy right now. And so it's a tool that's supposed to empower us for the future. Now, what does that mean in this context? Honor the Lord with your wealth and the very best part of everything you, or the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. So at a very, very, very abstract level, there's a sense here that if you take your wealth and invest in the future instead of spending it now, instead of alleviating whatever pressures or pain you feel now, you're investing in the future, then good will come to you. And that is true in general. If you don't expend all your money now for what you want now, then in general, it will return to you because it's that tool for investment. But at the same time, that's a very abstract perspective. And at the same time, the context of this, Proverbs chapter 3, we did a message near the beginning of the series. And it was verse 5 and 6, said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. So the context here is this is not just an abstract concept talking about, generally speaking, the future or a general principle. It's talking about God himself. Honor the Lord. That's his personal name there. When you see it in all capitals in whatever translation you use, that's his name, that the pronunciation has been lost because people saw it as so holy and so, because God is not like, he's not a person like me. He's a personal capital P. And we did one of, I think the very first message we talked about in this series was the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The idea that God is so big, so far ahead of me, so different from me, so holy and majestic and terrifying. It's just that when we get to know him, we find out that, yes, he's terrifying, but he meets us with love. We don't measure up, but he meets us with love. This is the person that we're called to honor with our very life, that stuff that we earn. Our lives are at their best when we are in relationship with this terrifying, loving God, who knows what's best for us regardless of what we think, regardless of what kind of control we try to exert over our own lives. I mean, we've heard story after story on a Sunday morning of people learning that, as Janine said this morning. The way we expend our life demonstrates our priorities. Do you want to know how you expend your life? Do you know how you take inventory of that? Look at your spending habits. That's what demonstrates your priorities. So where are your priorities? In fact, if something were to go really wrong, let's just say, for example, you had a whole bunch of car repairs all of a sudden and your savings were depleted. Let's say it was worse. Let's say you lost your source of income. You know what happens when people lose their source of income? They're forced to evaluate their finances and rebudget. When you rebudget because you have a loss of income or you have a whole bunch of unexpected expenditures, you cut out the things that matter the least. And that's when you find out what your priorities are. So certain things are a priority, of course. You know, you need shelter, you need food. To what extent is your insurance payment a priority? To what extent is your cable bill? Now, younger people don't get that because nobody younger pays for cable. That's just dumb. Okay, but with Netflix, right? To what extent is Wi-Fi a priority for you if you lose your income? In that context, to what extent is God a priority for you? Is he the first thing that comes off the list, or is he the first thing that goes on the list? And that's hard. That's a hard question. Because when life falls apart, financially or otherwise, and Janine said it this morning, you fall to your knees physically and metaphorically and emotionally. You fall to your knees and call to God. But how do you demonstrate your trust in God? Because that's what this is talking about. Honor the Lord, that terrifying, loving God, with your wealth, with the best part of everything you produce. That means it's first. The New Testament model of this, this early church, this early community of followers of Jesus, the expectation was extravagant, unbridled generosity. Where there was no limit to the generosity that was expected of them. And that's tough. The Old Testament model is what they would call the tithe or the tenth, that people were expected in that Old Testament model to give the first tenth. And I know that the cynic says, well, of course, that's how the religious community exerted power over everybody else. But the reality is the priests were also required to do it. Everybody was required. The priests were not exempt from that. Why? Because it's a demonstration of trust, first of all. Do I trust God, or do I keep control of all my finances so I make the decisions? Do I trust him, or do I not? First, it's a demonstration of trust. Second, it's a demonstration of discipline, that I would continue to do this even when the crap hits the fan financially. And the third thing, it's a demonstration of worship. I've quoted this probably 20 times over the past 10 years. How you live is your highest act of worship. We can sing the songs on Sunday morning, but your budget determines where your worship is. That's a quote from Pastor Wade, by the way, and I have to give him credit all the time, but sooner or later I'm just going to take credit for myself because I've said it so many times. So it's really hard because I can count myself blessed in a lot of ways. I count myself blessed because I grew up with this. So back in the day when my allowance was 25 cents, back when 25 cents, I mean, it wasn't a lot of money even back then, we were taught, you know, you give God the first of it. You tithe on that. You give the 10%, and we rounded up 2.5 cents to 5. But the one thing that we learned quite years and years and years later, because this was hard, was we would get to the end of the month and go, well, we don't have it left. Like, we got to, you know, delay the payment to God. And what we had to realize is we do it first. Because if you do it last, there's no trust in that. It's easy to give God the leftover. But real trust is doing it first. And if you go, you are nuts. 10%? Okay. When I go to the pool, there's a segue for you. There's two ways to get in the pool. You jump in, which is, to me, is just ungodly. Or you dip your toe in, takes you half an hour to get in. I'm a toe dipper. So if you go 10%, you're insane. Dip your toe and try 1% and see what happens. Because the proverb says, he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. You know, not necessarily tomorrow and maybe not in 10 years because sometimes the car breaks down, but do you still trust him? Do you trust him? Start with one. If you're at 1%, try to go to 2 and see what happens. How you spend your money is how you demonstrate your priorities. 2 minutes. Let's see if we have text messages. Oh, before I do that, I have to offer you this opportunity. If you are not a follower of Jesus and you're saying this whole thing is new to me and I either want to know more or I think I'm ready to jump in, how do you do that? Well, it's as simple as ABC. It's not easy. We hear from story to story. Like every week we have these stories and you hear about how difficult it is sometimes because we still want to do it our own way. But it's as simple as ABC. First, admit your need for God. You heard Janine say that. I absolutely need you. Second thing is believe. Believe that God has the life for you, that self-sacrificial life that was demonstrated and made possible through Jesus' death. But then new life came through that. Jesus was raised from the dead. And then see, commit your life fully to him. And if that's something that you want to know more about or you're actually ready to do that this morning, we have Get Connected cards at the back of this room and throughout the lobby. fill in your contact information, and there's two check boxes. You can check, I'm going to follow Jesus for the first time today, or I want to know more about it. And then just give those in information desk. You have to do something. You have to do something physically to demonstrate to yourself that you are making a change. And so that's our easiest go-to. You can also text me and say, you know, I'm in, but give me your name so that I'm not, I have a name, not a number, like a 10-digit number that I'm responding to. But most people that do that here, and we've had it, you know, a fair number of times over the past few weeks, is we're getting those Get Connected cards. And so that's the best way to do it. Okay, here I have one text message, not related to the message, it's related to the story. Could you ask Janine, was it Chris Wark she mentioned? Yes, it was. Glad to help. Yes, Janine is nodding, and if I'm going out on a ledge here. I presume that if you want more information, you could probably talk to Janine afterwards. Am I right? Yeah, she's wearing a name tag like this, so find her, like ambush her in the lobby. Let's stand. We're going to close the service in prayer tomorrow, or today, and tomorrow. This will be the longest service we've ever had. So as soon as the service is done, Theater One becomes a prayer room. Okay, we always encourage people. We even challenge people because people find this difficult. But before you leave, find one person you've never met and have a meaningful conversation because we're a place where people need to belong, where we need to know one another. We need to build relationships. We just ask that you do that in the lobby, not in here. So the focus this morning, and this is a tough one. I know people really struggle with this. The focus for prayer this morning is how do I trust God with my finances, that thing that represents my very life, my time and my energy. And so that's the challenge. And if God is kind of drawing your attention to that internally, not what I'm saying, but God is saying, this is something you need to pay attention to, then spend some time in prayer this morning. You can pray by yourself. You can pray with a friend, with a spouse, with your small group, whatever. We just stay and pray. But if you want to have the conversations, we ask that you have those in the lobby. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that you are a generous God who blesses us beyond our imagination. That even though sometimes we hit financial problems, we hit financial challenges, I have to acknowledge we are still extremely blessed even just to live in this country. That there isn't a person here that isn't in the top 10% of the world's wealthiest people. We have so much to be thankful for. You give us our very life. You give us the means to earn money. Most of all, you have offered to us relationship with you. Father, may we not take you casually. May we acknowledge that you are so high above us that if we were to really think about it, it's truly terrifying. But that you extend the offer of relationship in love because you have made us to love us. So, Father, help us to honor you with all of our being and not withhold from you. And that as we demonstrate our trust, we would see you at work in our lives in ways, maybe not in ways that we want, but in the ways that are best in all kinds of unexpected ways. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Crosslands Church podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store so that it comes straight to your device. And to find out more about Crosslands Church, you can visit us at crosslands.ca. Join us next week for another message to help you experience the life with God you've been missing.